Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are doing a month of miracles. We need a miracle, don't we? We need a miracle. So there's a miracle here today for you. You know, as I've studied this text this last week, again, I haven't preached on this text. It's been fun to kind of do something different and look at this miracle, the sign of Jesus. I discovered that it's really important to get the timeline down of when certain things happened here in this text. It is, here's the first timeline, the date. It is Monday, 6 a.m., at a place called Capernaum. Now, I'm making the day up. Go along with me. It could have been a Friday, but I'm going to say Monday for the sake of teaching. We know for sure this time is about correct, 6 a.m., and we also know the location is accurate, too. Capernaum. What are you doing on 6 a.m. on a Monday morning? Are you getting your coffee going? You getting things ready for the rest of the week? You're thinking about what's coming? Are you hitting the button on your radio to get some more sleep so the alarm goes off? Well, one thing's for certain, Monday, 6 a.m., about 2,000 years ago, the royal official was displaying what I'm going to call a last chance faith. A last chance faith. His son is at the point of death. And in this culture, losing a son would be a terrible thing and perhaps your most prized possession. And undoubtedly, this father had gone through all sorts of means to heal his son. And his son is at the point of death. And there's really only one thing he can do. A last chance opportunity. He's heard that a magician or someone who can do tricks is about 20 miles away in a town called Cana. Now, he doesn't really know who Jesus is. He's heard maybe of his first miracle that he changed water into wine, but that miracle worker's away. His son is at the point of death. He'll do anything to heal him. So he displays, 6 o'clock again, Monday early morning, a last chance faith. Maybe you can relate to that, a last chance faith. You have a little bit of faith. When you compare yourself to everyone else in your family or someone maybe here at Peace Lutheran Church, you don't have as much faith as that other person. You just have just a little bit of faith. Your faith doesn't compare like that guy that sits at the end of the pew at church that's got that, you know, that worn Bible that when he picks it up, it looks like it's all going to fall apart because he's opened his Bible so many times. Your faith is just little compared to him. Or maybe your faith compared to that lady that prays all the time with all those long words and she can quote every scripture passage. Your faith is just small. Or maybe you pull out that little bit of faith only when it's the last option and that's all you can do. That's all you can muster with the struggle that you're facing in life. A last chance kind of faith. And you might be there right now. What's happening in the world with disease spreading and reported, with school. Last month, we were thinking that would happen. Right now, my family's thinking this will happen. In a month from now, who knows what'll happen? Or maybe your own health. We had a lot of people with surgeries this past week at Peace, struggling with health. And the only thing you have is a little bit of faith. Well, here's the good news. That's okay. It's okay if you just got a little bit of faith. Because faith, my friends, is not about the amount that you have or how you compare to somebody else. What we believe is actually that the faith is directed to the right person, to Jesus. Now, that's what happens with the royal official in this text. He actually has a lot of misconceptions probably about who Jesus is, a magician, a trickster. But the bottom line is, he goes to Jesus with a little bit of faith that he has A last chance faith is a good thing, not a bad thing. But here's the thing. Our faith can deepen to another level. Our faith can deepen to a level in which we just trust and take Jesus at his word. Now, let's move the timeline forward. We're now at 1 p.m. on Monday, but now we're at a different town. We're now at Cana. That's pretty accurate. We know from verse 52 that this conversation between the royal official and Jesus happens at the seventh hour. Now, in the Jewish timekeeping, the seventh hour is the seventh hour that the sun has been up. We think that's about 1 p.m. in the afternoon. The father has likely taken the 20-mile journey from Capernaum to Cana to see Jesus. And he has the conversation with Jesus here at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. What are you doing at 1 p.m. in the afternoon on Monday? Getting your lunch kind of put all together, taking a nap for more energy for the afternoon. This man shows a development in his faith just in the matter of 7 hours. He tells Jesus about his son. Jesus responds this way, "Your son will live." Then there's this amazing phrase. It says that the royal official took Jesus at his word. Pretty incredible. Took Jesus at his word. Now, I don't believe he had a fully developed faith at this point. This is my interpretation of this text. Basically, because if I heard that my son was alive and I was 20 miles away, I would book it back all the way to Capernaum in that moment. I mean, I'd go grab that donkey and get it going. I'd get a chariot. I'd get some sort of ride to get there as fast as I could to see that my son was living. Wouldn't you do the same thing? But we know from this text that the father doesn't leave right away. He leaves the next day, on Tuesday. But still, he takes Jesus at his word. He believes that his son will live, probably in somewhere 2 weeks down the road, maybe in a month, maybe in 6 months, his son will recover his health, something like that. But he certainly doesn't believe that Jesus has just spoken 20 miles away and the healing happens. But again, he shows a deepening of his faith. He takes Jesus at his word. Maybe you're there right now in your life where your faith development is just at that point where you take Jesus at his word. But that's a hard thing. Can you really take someone at their word? What about that salesperson that says, "I got a deal for you"? Do you take him at his word? Probably not. You ask him to read the fine print, or you ask for the fine print. Or your friend that makes an amazing promise to you. You probably doubt it, and you want to see action. My friends, there are points, though, in life where we actually do take people at their word. You just believe it. Have you ever had that happen? When I was 23, I had maybe one of the, I've probably only had two surgeries. One of the surgeries that I had was I had an appendectomy, my appendix. It was very painful. And I'll never forget the moment that I was coming to my senses after the surgery. I was groggy and didn't know what was up from down, and I was struggling there in my bed. The doctor came to my bedside, and he said this, "Yep, we healed up everything. You're going to be just fine." That's all he said. I took him at his word. I didn't want x-rays. I didn't want a second opinion from someone else at the hospital. I didn't want the pain meds to kind of wear off so that I could get a sense where I was. I took the doctor at his word. My friends, what a beautiful place it is when you can get to a point in your faith where you can take Jesus at his word, because he says you're valuable. You are his child. He says you have everlasting life. Take him at his word. But here's the thing. Faith development can go even deeper than that. You can get to a point in which you believe that all things are possible with God at any time. And that is a powerful place to be. Let's move ourselves forward on the timeline. It's now Tuesday. Not sure the exact time. Tuesday about 10 a.m., somewhere between those two cities, Capernaum and Cana. And the father's walking back. Now remember, he didn't walk back immediately after having the conversation with Jesus. He walks back on Tuesday. He's walking back to Capernaum, and his servants come to him, and they have a conversation, and he discovers that his son is his health has returned. And then he asks, what time did his health return? And what do the servants say? They say, Monday at the seventh hour, when Jesus was speaking to him. My friends, it's one thing to heal someone by giving them medicine. I think millions of people have done that in the history of time. It's another thing to offer prayer to someone and have their health restored. Jesus' disciples actually do this in Acts, and Christians have done this for 2,000 years. Healing has happened through prayer. But my friends, it is a whole nother thing for someone to speak, and from 20 miles away, it happens. A performative word, not informative, performative. Only one person has done that in the Bible. Spoken and it happens. When God created the earth, in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and it happened. Jesus speaks and it happens. And in that moment, the royal official reached a very deep level of faith. He knew, probably for the rest of his life, that God could do anything at any moment. You know, we can reach that level too. I compare it to a trust fall. I don't know if you've ever experienced a trust fall. It's a scary thing, but it really works when there's one person who's kind of up high. Like, let's say, just imagine someone standing up here on up here, right? This is an altar. This is a picnic table for now. Just imagine that, all right? Don't turn me into the seminary, please. Standing right up here on the altar. And then down below, there's like six people ready to catch that person. And they come backwards. What's key in the trust fall is where you keep your center of gravity. That's critical. That's how this works. So here's the thing. If you're falling and you want to keep the center of gravity in you, you stretch your arms out and you bend your knees. How does that work for the people catching you down below? Not well. They don't catch you. But the way that this works is if you're up high and you're falling back, you shift your center of gravity from you, actually, to the people down below. They catch you every time. That's how faith works. It's shifting the center of gravity in us to Jesus Christ. And this text shows us with this faith development of the royal official is this is exactly what he's done. He's gone in a matter of 48 hours from someone who believed that Jesus was a trickster and maybe a magician and could do some things to a man that completely shifted his center of gravity to Jesus. What's really the miracle in the second sign of Jesus Christ in John's gospel? My friends, it's not the sun. That's not the miracle. Some scholars will say that's the miracle, but you notice we don't even know how his health goes. There's no recording of what he does in his life. We don't even know his name, what happened to him. We just have second tier information about that sun. The miracle, I think, is the transformation of faith in the father, the royal official. From a faith that was last chance to a faith that was firmly solid in Jesus. Now, I know what we want. We want a miracle. We want a cure for a pandemic. We want health to come our way this week. We want school to be figured out. We want a miracle this week right now. And I pray that that will happen. But my friends, let this sign teach us a lesson. Maybe the greatest miracle is a deepening of our own faith in Jesus. And if that happens, then we're well on the way to experiencing the fullness of Jesus and living healthy lives. Let's pray about that as we move on to prayer with the rest of our service. Please bow your head. Dear Jesus, we live in a time in which we want a miracle. And when we think of that word miracle, we think of all the trouble that's going on in the world, but redirect us. Shift our focus to what your word says. Give us a miracle, the miracle of deepening our faith, so that we can face everything, because Jesus is on our side. May that be the case for each one of us today here in our service, and also those that are tuning in as well online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.